Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's almost as good as an episode as the average epileptic. And my very special guest tonight is the wonderful, the extraordinary, the credible, and the incredible, Dr. Janet Hull. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thanks for that nice intro. It's good to be back.
I find if you chuck a lot of nice adjectives in there, it works very well for everybody. I wanted to... we've got a number of topics on the board today. Vaccines, GMOs, aspartame, and how we're marching towards war. But I wanted to quickly just allow you to sort of explain who you are and what you do to the audience so we're not going in blind here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We have a lot of very upbeat topics, don't we?
Oh, it's going to be fun.
I am an environmental toxicologist, an environmental engineer, and I worked in Eastern Europe remediating the former Soviet army bases after Glasnost in the 80s and 90s. And I wound up getting deathly ill for very mysterious reasons in 1991. And because I was an environmental engineer, my expertise was going into the environment to determine what the toxins are that are polluting the soil or the groundwater. And so I wound up in the hospital with a resting heart rate of 180 beats a minute. My blood pressure was blowing out. My cholesterol was blowing out. And nobody knew why I was so sick. So the doctors diagnosed me with an incurable case of Graves' disease, which is a hyperactive thyroid. It's like my body wasn't shutting off, and it was going to just burn itself out. So they wanted to destroy my thyroid, put me on heart medication, and do all of this stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, what's caused me to get so sick suddenly for no reason? And they're like, we have absolutely no idea. And I'm like, well, you're not going to do anything to my body that's permanent until I figure out what's caused it. So I left the hospital after 3 days and went on a quest to figure out what toxin was making me sick. So I approached it like I would an environmental spill. And lo and behold, I discovered that it was aspartame in Diet Dr. Pepper that I was drinking. And I had only been using it for a year, but it brought me down big time, bad time. Well, once I realized what it was that was making me so sick, I stopped using it, of course, and I detoxed. And within 6 weeks, my incurable disease was cured. It was gone.
You find it interesting how something so sweet could cause something so ominous as Graves' disease.
Well, and that's why I wrote a book about it called Sweet Poison, because it's a sweet poison. So I did. I started doing the research on it because this was back before the internet, back before Skype, back before our technology. So I had to literally write letters, go visit the researchers or pick up the phone. And I wound up discovering a hornet's nest of corruption on the approval of aspartame. And it involves Robert Shapiro and Donald Rumsfeld, Monsanto, surprise, surprise. And so I've been trying to inform people about the dangers of aspartame since 1991. Since that time, Vinny, things have gotten so complex and they have gotten so much worse. We've got Splenda now, which is also toxic. We've got GMOs. We've got glyphosate. We've got pesticides, herbicides, Fukushima. I mean, it seems since 1991 when I discovered this one small toxin, we have magnified into so many more since that time, and nothing has changed. Everything's still on the market. Everything is just still selling, being promoted as safe, And it's been real frustrating.
I hear a lot of people saying that nothing's changed, but then they always usually correct themselves and go, well, actually, no, it has changed. It's gotten worse.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It has gotten worse. You know, and it's funny. I was talking with a man today on the phone who, after 25 years of using aspartame and the diet products, has just discovered that his illness is caused by aspartame. The doctors cannot figure out anything, why he's bipolar, why he's depressed, why he's suicidal, why he's gaining weight, why his blood pressure is up. They can't give him any answers except to write him a new prescription, another prescription, an additional prescription. And it amazes me that after all of this time and all of our efforts to get this information out, it's still such a small handful of people that either believe it or actually do something about it. And I think, you know, aspartame and diet products, they were once such a big deal back in the 90s when life seemed just a little bit more simple than it is today. And it's just amazing how over the decades, almost three decades now, it has gotten worse. And the diet sweetener issue almost seems trivial compared to the issues that have come up just recently, you know?
And it's not like, you know, this is a kind of one of those good, beneficial types of toxic waste that can turn you into a superhero like it does in the comics. Like, nobody's going to, like, drink just too much of it and then become the amazing Aspartame-Man.
No, the amazing Aspartame man is going to have holes in his brain. He's going to be fat. His vision's going to be disrupted. He'll have ringing in the ears, dry skin. His sex drive will be down.
Which is altogether not that amazing.
I suppose there's a lot of American aspartame heroes walking around then, aren't there?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, where did aspartame actually come from? I heard that it was kind of like the fecal matter of bacterial growth or something like that.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that's come out since the very beginning. And it's true, but there's a little more to the story. It's not quite that simple. The neat thing about talking to someone like me, because I'm one of the original sweetener researchers, is I've been in this since the early 90s, and it came on the market in the early 80s, yet its history began in the mid 60s. And so a lot of the information that's out there today is not 100% accurate. However, we do have more information than we did in the 90s through better research techniques. But any phenylalanine that's used in any product, Vinny, it grows from a bacteria. And so that's not really that abnormal. But what's abnormal is that, you know, now they're using GMO versions of it. And of course, it's not a natural form. It's in a laboratory petri dish, and it's all man-made now. There's no originality to any of the diet sweeteners. But the thing about aspartame is that it is a toxin. It started off as an ulcer medication, and it just happened to be sweet with no calories. Saccharin wasn't going anywhere. And GD Serol Pharmaceuticals just switched the paperwork in the FDA offices from a drug to a food additive. And they didn't change the chemical compound of aspartame. So technically, it's an ulcer drug.
So it's like adding statin drugs to your burger or something like that, which there was an article a couple of years back saying that McDonald's in the UK, I think, were going to be serving statin drugs with their food.
Well, I think if they had their way, they would just put all of this in the water and be done with it so that everybody is sick, dumbed down, and, you know, controllable.
Well, you've got to find some way to make public tap water tasty enough to drink, I guess.
And what's sad is, you know, it's offered in the schools to children, but they're going to take out the regular colas because they said sugar, you know, of course, is the demon, but the aspartame is the savior. It's almost so insane, the track that we've gotten so far down, that I'm not sure how we're ever going to find our way back to normalcy and to the basics. You know, my generation grew up with less chemicals, very few McDonald's. There were no soda machines in the schools. We maybe had one mall in Dallas in the 1960s and 70s. It was such a simpler life. Not saying that it was any less stressful for my parents, but it was such a simpler life. My generation can at least remember the way it used to be, so that we've got a checks and a balances. We know that we can figure out what it is that's making us sick or feel bad. But the millennials and the Generation X, they're growing up with these toxins in their life from day one. And I wonder how they're going to be able to logically balance it, you know, because they don't know what it was like to live without this inundation of chemicals and fake foods, chemtrails in the air, you know, polluted water in the Pacific, you know, islands of trash as big as Hawaii. I wonder how we're going to get ourselves out of this mess, because we are so far down the rabbit hole now. It's really actually hard to determine what chemicals are causing what, because everyone is exposed to so many.
And we're basically swimming in a pesticide toxic soup, and that's just the stuff that's not in our food, you know? All our water's contaminated, all our air's contaminated, whether that be through carbon monoxide coming out of the car exhaust, or the chemtrails, and then on top of that, you've got all the electronic interference, electromagnetic frequency radiation, EMF, EMR, that sort of thing. That's not good for you either. Now, what I've determined is, and I was looking at, let me see if I can find my demographics here. The vast majority of my audience are between the ages of 25 and 64, all right? Mm-hmm. And from between the ages of 13 all the way through to 24, virtually nobody. Now, mm-hmm. I think that the reason for this is it takes about 30 to 40 years before you realize there's something going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this was exactly the conversation I had with my client this morning. He's 44 years old. He's been using aspartame for 25 years. So, you know, he was a teenager when he started on these products. It took him until 44 to realize what was causing him to be so sick. And you're correct. When children begin exposure to these toxins before puberty, they're not going to understand what it feels like to feel good, because they're always going to feel bad. And as their hormones begin to develop, they're not going to develop normally, you know?
Well, I don't know. Anybody who's been to high school would know what feeling bad is about with or without the aspartame, but continue.
Well, and this is just everything. It's the GMOs. It's the, like you said, the lesser quality of the water that we're drinking now. And California, for example, Southern California's residents are 25% restricted now, you know, because of the drought. So these are kids that are going to be growing up with worrying about whether there's enough water to drink or to take a bath, or gosh, think of all of the water that we used to play in the water hose, or, you know, in your swimming pool. Life is definitely changing. And, you know, being an environmental engineer, and then I got a PhD in holistic nutrition, I did that after I wrote my book, Sweet Poison. And what I did is I combined environmental toxicology with human health toxicology. And they're really the exact same thing. A toxin is a toxin is a toxin. So if it's going to damage a whale or a dolphin, it's going to damage your body too. You know? Now we're still connected, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I got a little, my little Skype thing started jiggling and I thought, uh-oh, I lost you. So what I've determined is it's all one big unit, you know?
Well, let's come in back to this after the break then, Janet, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is a listener-supported broadcast. Check out our great sponsors on the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's our Blue Shield to protect yourself from that EMF, EMR, 4G, nasty radiation stuff. And, of course, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen, some toxin-free soaps to clean yourself up in this atmosphere of filth. We'll be right back. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 4 days a week. Man, I sound like a professional radio show host. How the hell did that happen? My very special guest is Dr. Janet Hull. Now, I didn't even know that you were like an environmental toxicologist. That's actually the same career path as, I think, what's his name? Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network. Or at least he was chemistry and toxicology was his. He was a professor in that. Now, what I'm noticing is that when you're going through the education process, there's this huge indoctrination. And indoctrination and mind control are fairly simple products. It's basically sleep deprivation and repetition and a silo mentality, so that anybody who speaks out or thinks out individually or whatever gets ostracized, and everybody's so sleep deprived that they can't think for themselves even if they wanted to. And on top of that, once you get out, once you start speaking out, you get the entirety of your profession giving you crap about it. Has this happened to you?
Oh my gosh, Monsanto Chemical Company has tried to get me fired from the university where I teach right now. Absolutely. When you step out of the box and when you call a spade and a duck and you don't play the politics, you're rocking the boat, and they really discourage that. They do. Now, the neat thing about it is that this is what students want, though. Well, maybe not all the students, but the majority of the students want to know, cut to the chase, tell me what I need to know, how does this apply to my life, you know? And when you give that information, which is what we're doing right now, we're putting all the cards on the table, and I think that's what people need, and that's what they want. Just give me the truth, tell me what's going on, give me all the data, and then let me figure out what I'm going to do with it in the way that it applies to my life and to me.
That's the millennials for you.
Yeah. But what you're saying is right. They want everybody to just be, you know, like a drone in the Matrix. They want everybody to be in a box. They want to be in control. But what I'm seeing is a generation of kids that are coming into the light and getting it. They're getting it. They're going, you know what? Things are pretty messed up. And like I was saying before the break, there's no difference between you and your body and the environment that you live in. We're all in the same mess, you know, we're all exposed to the same toxins and we're all having the same type of reactions. So we need to not only clean up the environment, but we also need to clean up our diets and our bodies. And I think once we do that, Vinny, once we realize what's going on, then the solutions are pretty easy. They really are. The problem is that we're not being told it. We're not being told the truth. We're being sold products, told that they're healthy and they're not. The proof that they're not healthy is being withheld from people. And even with environmental issues, look at Fukushima. Fukushima is decimating the Northern Pacific Ocean. And it's already starting to affect the west coast of the United States. And I will talk with people in California because I do nutritional counseling. I do toxicology, hair analyses on people to determine what toxins are in their bodies that make them sick. And I had a client in California who was toxic in radiation, and I asked her a few weeks ago, are you exposed to any of the fallout from Fukushima that you are aware of? And she said, what's Fukushima? Can you imagine?
No, well, the thing is, because you and I know it, we do the classic human mistake that other people are like us, that other people may have information that we do. And I hear this comment a lot. Oh, I can't believe people are this stupid. I can't believe people are this ill-informed. And I said, why can't you believe it? Why is it even mildly surprising? Have you seen television or the media in the last 20 or 30 years, mate? It's almost inevitable.
You know, maybe that's part of my problem. I gave up my television 10 years ago, and I gave up my microwave, and those are two those were two sacrifices. Giving up mainstream television, so now I get my news through YouTube and RT. And alternative media is where I go. But I guess you're right. I guess I assume everyone has that desire to figure things out and to learn what's the cause of all the turmoil going on these days.
Well, they haven't suffered enough, right? Like somebody was telling me yesterday, oh, but if we vote for the right person, it's going to change things. And I was just like burst out laughing. And the reason why that was so funny to me is because I've never seen people change their lives or a country change its government unless they're not happy with it, unless it has messed them round somewhat. And if anything, that's truly the thing that we need to be hoping for. I remember reading Michael Moore's book, you know, say what you like about him. I personally don't believe in his socialist ideals anyway, but he was a section of his book, Dude, Where's My Car, was about praying to God to give every congressman, senator, and person in authority horrific diseases and chemical contamination problems and erectile dysfunction. You know, every kind of thing that you could possibly imagine, because it's only once they actually have the problem themselves that they'll conceivably right. do anything about it.
Well, you know, we just need to send them all to the West Coast of the United States and give them a case of Diet Coke. And there you have it.
Or a case of herpes. But anyway, I was wondering as well how, because you're the perfect example, aren't you? You got sick with Graves' disease, then you got curious because you were in such pain and in, you know, trauma, stress or whatever, that caused you to change and shift your entire life around it. Now, if everybody could have that kind of trauma, if everybody could have that kind of disease, if everybody could have these kind of problems, then we wouldn't have these problems anymore, or at least not for very long. The problem is with soft kill weapons, which I believe that these aspartame vaccines, GMOs, etc., are basically military soft kill bioweapons, in my summation. As long as people are not falling dead or losing loved ones or having extraordinary diseases accrue, they'll never figure out what's killing them. And I think that's the very idea, so that people will die before they realize they're even being killed.
Well, that's what is happening, and I do agree. You know, if you do a global study on the different cultures in each of the different countries around the world, which is a beautiful thing to do because it helps you understand the differences in people and, you know, accept and respect them. But if you study their dietary habits and the food that they grow, let's say Northern Italy, just for an example, or maybe Northern New Zealand, If you introduce an American product like aspartame, let's say in a packet of Equal or in a diet cola, and then you can begin to notice that the people in northern Italy or northern New Zealand begin to develop health problems that they had never had before. Well, it's such an obvious observation, but like you said, when you're looking for it, if you're not looking for it, and the doctors have been told not to touch the issue, that's the other thing with aspartame. I know that the American Medical Association has told their doctors, don't go there. Don't talk about aspartame. Don't enter into a discussion with it. It's been proven safe. It's very litigious. Don't even go there. So the doctors don't even mention it. They don't ask, are you drinking 3 liters of diet cola a day? They don't ask. But if they would pay attention to these areas of the world, and it's not just diet colas. It can be vaccines. It can be the Ebola vaccine or the MMR or the flu vaccine that's introduced into a different part of the world that never had these chemicals before. You can so clearly see, Vinny, that they begin to change. Their children start getting fatter. ADHD, autism, vision problems, all of these health problems begin to arise as soon as westernized chemical foods, chemical vaccines, and chemical products are introduced into other cultures around the world.
Now, this is a kind of a chemical colonization to a large degree, isn't it? Because when you colonize an area, the first order of business is to wipe out the existing culture and replace it with your own. And if that happens for long enough, then people begin to believe that the culture that's replaced theirs is legitimate. And they begin to defend it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. It's a way to break it down from the inside out. You know, you weaken it from the inside, and we all know that Hitler taught that lesson very well. You take over a country by weakening it from within. And then, of course, you make the people dependent on you. You know, something interesting about the Ebola, we have a very good friend that is from Senegal. He has been in Senegal most of his life. And I asked him about the Ebola issue, and he just gets this big grin on his face. I went, oh, okay, you're used to Americans asking you that question, right? He goes, yes. He said, we don't have a problem with Ebola in Senegal. Our borders are closed. They're getting control of it in the bordering countries. He said, but you know where Ebola comes from? I said, of course I do not. He said it comes from the tribesmen eating bush meat. It just comes from rancid bush meat. And he said, this kind of stuff happens all the time. It's not this epidemic that's going to wipe everybody out. It's tragic, but he said it's not what Western medicine has made it out to be. And that didn't surprise me. Does that surprise you?
Well, Western medicine was basically controlled by the Rockefeller Foundation ever since the days of the Flexner Report, where they shut down almost every natural therapy or holistic medicine practice in the United States, and demanded that only medical schools that are using pharmaceutical drugs, which are incidentally made with oil byproducts from the Rockefeller Standard Oil... are the good ones.
Right.
Ever since then, there's been a medical mafia in control of everybody's health. Thank you!
And now they're spreading into, you know, every other country in the world.
Janet, you know what really Fs me off? Every single year, around flu season, they start advertising all their flu shots. It's a product.
Oh, I know.
These are basically just salespeople. These aren't freaking doctors.
And they use fear as their biggest marketing tool. And then they make a mother feel guilty if the mother doesn't get their children inoculated. And so she goes against her instincts. She knows that these vaccinations are not necessarily safe. She knows that they can harm her children, but she's shamed, you know, into, well, you're not a very good mother. And of course, in the United States, they're starting now to try to do child protective services on families that refuse to vaccinate their kids. You're right. It's going to have to come to everybody's front doorstep before people say, okay, I need to do something about this now. And that kind of segues back into what we started talking about with how I got into this with the aspartame issue. It's there, and it's information that people should be able to easily access so that they can avoid going through the money, the time, and the hurt that it puts your body through when you have a reaction to these toxic chemicals that we eat and drink and inject in our bodies.
Which brings us back to... Continue.
Well, I was going to say, because they don't let this out publicly, because mainstream media won't inform the public, people are just blindsided. They have really little clue until it actually happens to themselves.
And then they go, oh, well, something's bound to kill me sooner or later. It's like, no kidding, bro. You have a finite lifespan. You're not a freaking deity. But do you want to spend the last 10 years of your life going through 20 pairs of underwear a day? Probably not. Stop taking the toxic, contaminated stuff into your body. It's not a smart move. We'll be right back. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that it assumes two things overall. Number one, if it comes from an official source, it's probably the exact opposite of whatever they're telling you. So if they tell you it's safe and effective, then it's probably dangerous and completely frickin' useless. And principle assumption number two is if you can't make it in your own kitchen with ingredients you can find, then it's a soft-kill bioweapon. My very special guest is Dr. Janet Hull. Now, what we were talking about is vaccines. Now, there's this fear element, okay? And you see this, as I mentioned, every season. Here's an article here from 3 News here in New Zealand. The mother of a boy maimed as a result of getting chicken pox is urging other parents to immunize their children against the disease. Now, right there, can somebody give medical advice if they're not a doctor?
No.
Oh, Janet, we're having some real difficulty with your connection there. AFR, would you be able to disconnect and then reconnect her, please? Just solve that wee problem. Because there's that oscillating kind of thingy going on there. Ooh, it's a problem. Janet, can you hear me?
Yeah, but I'm scared to talk because I don't want to oscillate.
It seems to be fine. There's just like a little bit of a crackling on the end there, like roast pork. Anyway, it seems to have solved itself, so it's all good. So,
good.
When it comes to pushing bioweapons like vaccines, and let's not mince words here, it helps to appeal to people's emotions and say, somebody please think of the children. Because after all, who could argue with that? You know, you don't want to kill kids, do you? It's a great way of shutting down any possible rational debate and making anyone who opposes the indoctrinated brainwashed thinking look like a demon.
Again, you know, we touched on this before, a little earlier, that they bring in the fear factor. And what are people afraid of when it really comes down to it? Are they afraid to die? Are they afraid they're going to suffer? You know, why is there so much fear to refuse these vaccines that are not natural, much too potent for the human body, especially for a child, much too potent for a child, and they're just mass-produced? So Vinny, the thing to do, I think, when people have a decision to make or when they're looking at the way we have progressed today, which is way out of balance,
one could argue that we haven't progressed then, but yes, go ahead.
We really are still pretty, well, we're going backwards, I think, and becoming more primitive.
Yeah, devolution as opposed to evolution, but yes.
Yeah, but go back to the origins of whatever it is. Go back to the origin of vaccines. And the reason the vaccines were needed in the first place is because human beings were beginning to live closer together in more urban environments that were dirtier. So they were exposed to more human waste, water was polluted, food was spoiling because they weren't on the farm anymore. So when vaccines first came into place, it was mainly because diseases were spreading because of urban areas. Well, they worked, and they were a really great thing. And that was a neat, neat human invention. And if we had left it at that, to where we had vaccines that could be used only when needed, imagine the wonderful things that it would do today. But instead, like everything else, a price tag was put on it, and profits could be made, and control could be established. And you've seen now how it's evolved over time to where now it's just robo vaccinations, and they're giving vaccines to newborns, newborn babies. In the United States, if you do not inform the hospital to not vaccinate your newborn, they will automatically vaccinate that newborn within minutes of its birth. That's insane. Total insanity. So I think what's happened, Vinny, is profitability and control has taken over, and they make people afraid that if they don't do what they're told, they're going to suffer. And that is total insane. It's just insane.
Well, you know, the facts just simply don't stack up. I made this meme this one time. The claim is that vaccines virtually wiped out all dangerous diseases. But the fact is that vaccines started being used when all these diseases were already at the vanishing point. I mean, to believe vaccines were solely responsible, you'd have to ignore every 20th and 21st century discovery that affected the spread or severity of disease, including any and all advances in medicine, sanitation, diet, food preparation, packaging, transport, nutrition, technology, education, vitamins, soap, disinfectants. I mean, did you really believe live viruses, foreign and animal DNA mixed with heavy metals injected directly into the bloodstream were effective enough to combat disease?
Well, and you know, in a natural environment, all animals need to be exposed sometimes to certain antigens because that keeps your immune system going, and it also helps your immune system evolve. So if you're constantly exposed to, let's say, a new pollen, all right, your body then can work up an immunity to that pollen. But if you've stripped your body of all of its you know, ability to fight exposure to toxins, then any new toxin that's introduced into your body is just going to completely take over. So nature does this. It's again, if you can let your body take care of it on its own, it makes you stronger. But if you depend upon pharmaceuticals for everything, such as antibiotics, we've overused those to where now they don't work anymore. So I think what we've done is we've gotten so far off track, Vinny, of our place on the planet. Where do we fit in? How do we continue to work in synergy with the environment that's around us? Instead, it's like, how can we control it? Because how can we make money off of it? It's just gotten out of control to the point to where new diseases are coming up, new viruses, new bacteria, new parasites.
Including Congress.
Oh, boy, don't get me started. Our American government is in so much trouble right now, I'm almost embarrassed to tell people that I'm an American.
I know. Yeah. I'm kind of embarrassed to tell people I'm a New Zealander as well. In fact, if anybody knows anything about their country, they're embarrassed to be a member of it. just as a general rule.
Boy, I tell you what, though, you live in a beautiful, beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, allegedly. But we're also one of the only countries in the world that dumps the most horrific compound known as 1080 poison, which used to be used in the Manchurian campaign. The Japanese use it to poison water supplies downstream and make everybody convulse and throw up their own stomach lining for about 3 days and then die. We dump about $50 million worth of that into our fresh, pristine, beautiful bushland where all the native birds and everything are. What for? To protect them from predators, obviously, even though the birds eat the bait too.
Seriously?
Yeah, this place is out of control. Just like America, you grow up in it and you're like, wow, we're the greatest country in the world. You say the Pledge of Allegiance and you're like, wow, isn't that fantastic? We've got all this technology. We're great. We've got the military and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, as soon as you start researching for even a minute, you start to realize that it's all BS, and New Zealand is no different.
Well, you know, when I hear about situations like that, as an environmental engineer, the first question that comes to my mind is, okay, who's profiting from this? Because it wouldn't be done unless someone was profiting. So who's profiting from this?
Well, we consume dumping. We consume 90% of the world's 1080 supply, which is made by a small chemical company in Alabama that literally operates out of a shed.
Really?
Something like that, yeah. It's pretty atrocious.
You know, there's nothing more enlightening than to go to another country, get outside of your borders, go visit the way other people live their lives, how other governments rule, how other farmers, you know, produce their food. And then it helps you get a greater perspective, you know, on where you are living. And unless we do that, we get numb to what's going on around us and we don't stay as proactive, I don't think.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, if you're not paying attention, things are going to slip past you without you noticing, and it's just that simple, which is why the mainstream media and the government and goodness knows how many organizations that are representing what we call authority have basically a full-time job trying to keep the truth from us. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and make a donation to them today. They have a lot of costs associated with running the network, and we need your help to continue the fight to expose the media, expose the manipulation, and get these scumbags out of power. We'll be right back. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And anybody who knows New Zealand English, we speak bloody fast, mate. My very special guest is Dr. Janet Hull. I feel very privileged to be able to talk to you and have access to some of your research and information and your opinions, because ultimately, when it comes down to it, I'm not a great researcher. You know, I don't read documents, I don't go through all of that sort of stuff, and it's sort of like you have to, in large part, not so much as appeal to authority, but you have to rely on the great works of others, without which you would have no shoulders of giants to stand upon. And thank you very much for your work, Janet.
Oh, gosh, thank you, Vinnie. If it weren't for shows like yours, so many people would not know that most of this information is out there, because it's not readily available to them, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, entrepreneurs, what they do is they find a need and then they start fulfilling that need, and they do it in a way nobody else is doing yet, simply because it needs to be done. And activists are more or less come from the same breed, but instead of doing it for the money, they do it out of moral obligation because they can't live with themselves if they do not.
It's very inspiring, you know, to kind of turn the tables to the upside of the turmoil that's going on everywhere. It's exciting because that's how change is going to come about. All of the groundwork was done years and years and years ago. And I think because people have just been clipping along, like you said, just doing their daily thing, and until they get smacked up against the side of the head and they go, whoa, I didn't even realize this was right in front of me. Until they realize that this is going to affect their own lives, they just kind of clip along and do their thing and don't stay very proactive. But I think what's exciting is everybody's getting smacked now, you know? Everybody's feeling the pinch of the economy, pollution, medicine, you know, if they're drinking a Diet Coke, they're getting these headaches for the first time in their lives. Nobody feels good anymore. People don't laugh like they used to. And I think that's what's going to bring about change. And change is necessary. We're ready for a change. We have to have change. And if we can implement that change, we can make things better. We can get things back on track. And that's what I'm looking forward to. It's exciting times, and I'm hoping that the good guys win, because the bad guys, they're pretty much dominating things right now.
And I think that people can't really vote for change either, because last time they did that, it didn't work out too well. NDAA, no. More debt than the United States has ever borrowed before in the first term. Thank you, Mr. Barack Obama. And also Obamacare, written by all the insurance companies. You've got to love that.
Right. Oh, yeah. And you know, Bush Jr., well, of course, it really started with Nixon. And then, you know, after Kennedy was killed, things went south. And every new term, whether it's the same president second term or a new president first term, it's just worse. Every term is worse. And I think that after 9/11, we really slid down the tubes fast in the U.S. And Bush Jr., we lost it. The banks took control. The banks took control at that point. Obama has just adopted a huge mess. And whether he started off sincere or not, it's hard to tell. But he's an entirely different person now than when he was when he first took office, you know?
With politicians, I think their intentions become irrelevant and their track record is the only thing that should be looked upon. Somebody says one thing and then does the exact opposite and they do it a couple thousand times every year, you can't trust them. And so naturally the United States population re-elects them.
Yeah, or they don't show up to vote. That's the thing that's scary, is people are just saying, oh, screw it, you know, and I'm just not going to vote. So, you know, the bad guys get their groupies to come vote for them, and there they go again. They're right back in.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping, Vinny, takes place in France, the UK, it did in Greece. What I hope takes place in the United States is I hope we get a third party to come in and kick both of those parties to the curb.
Or an angry mob with torches and pitchfork. Just take them out of the Congress and shoot them. What was it? I'm just joking, by the way. I don't encourage violence.
I'm from Texas, man. You know, it's no big deal to see a horse going down the road with, you know, or a pickup truck with shotguns. I see it all the time. I'm used to that.
Well, you know, there has to be some kind of justice, and if the justice system won't do it, you know, a bullet might work better. But that's all I'm saying. I was just thinking about this in terms of the, like, the betrayal of the population and how they actually keep people in line, again, with the fear, the propaganda. And then, lastly, and I think the most brilliant, in terms of being evil brilliant, was to instill apathy.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Voting doesn't matter, activism doesn't matter, writing letters doesn't matter. Being human and trying to protect human life from scumbaggery doesn't matter. That is apathy, and it's killer.
That is the one thing that we do need to be afraid of in the Western world. And you're right. I'm a baby boomer. I'm the baby boomer generation, and what I see in the younger generations coming up is that the apathy is worse, and they are addicted to technology, to iPads, cell phones, Facebook. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to look at you eye to eye and communicate to carry on a conversation, and they really don't care. They honestly can't focus. American children cannot focus. And that's a huge concern. And I think you're right that the governments have them very passive, very easy to control.
And it's done by a number of veins as well, you know, fluoride in the water, the terrible mm-hmm. nutrition. I mean, that'll just kill your brain's ability to work properly.
Well, and you know, there's two ways that I look at this. One is, I think basically human beings are very nice people. By instinct, I think we're loving and we're kind. I think that we stop, or at least I know in Texas, we stop if we see a turtle crossing the road or a squirrel. You know, we're nice people. And I think that naivety and that nicety has been taken advantage of by the corrupt and by the dark side. And I think that they played us as pawns. Now that they've got us in the net, they're keeping us dumbed down. That's what I think is happening worldwide.
Well, there's a study conducted, I think it was between 1 and 4% of the population on average is a psychopath, all right, and psychopaths are pretty different to the ordinary person, and I think this is the reason why they can get away with committing crimes all the time, because the ordinary person doesn't think like that. And I've said for a long time that basically, if you want to truly understand how the world works and actually make sense of it, just look through psychopath goggles for a moment. Imagine that you have no conscience, no soul. You are all desire, rage, and dominance. Now look at the way the world works. Does it suddenly make a lot more sense? Yes, it does. You know why? Because it's run by frickin' psychos. And the problem is, and this is another study conducted, is that psychopaths tend to gravitate towards positions of power and influence. The main industries where they appear to accumulate, and bear in mind, they're only 1% to 4% of the population, but because they are, shall we say, overrepresented in the power centers, this has allowed an agenda to go across the whole planet, sort of thing.
I agree, and I think it goes back to basically people are genuinely nice, so they're easy targets for the psychopaths. Because they're bait, you know. Psychopaths are extremely brilliant. They know how to manipulate. They know how to scam. They know how to steal. And we are being ruled in the Western world by psychopaths, and they aren't to be trusted. They scare the hell out of me, actually.
Well, they should do.
The one leader in the world that I think is the smartest with the most integrity is Putin.
Yeah. Well, that's because in the Russian economy, you only get out what you put in. And speaking of... You were saying that this kind of like stemmed back to the Nixon administration, and I recall seeing a bit where after the Watergate affair, Nixon tried to downplay it, and he says, "Oh, those Woodward and Bernstein characters are just conspiracy theorists. I am not a crook." And he later turned out to be part of a conspiracy and a crook.
Yeah.
And but ever since, we've still been getting called conspiracy theorists, and this is the one thing that's really kind of frustrating for me, because I see so many credible people who have done their research, who have basically they've paid their dues in order to accumulate the knowledge and the facts that they have, and they've been made paranoid of approaching certain topics like vaccines or chemtrails or name your current fact-based conspiracy or whatever. They're so afraid of being linked via that logical fallacy known as guilt by association to these things which they don't fully understand and haven't fully researched or whatever.
That is correct. You know, back in the day, when every country was fighting for their independence, I don't know the history of New Zealand, but the history of the United States is we wanted to be free of the British, you know, control. And everyone that has fought for freedom has been considered a conspirator, you know, going against the mainstream, going against the ruling class, the person that butters your bread, punching the skunk, as we say in Texas. You know, nobody wants to punch a skunk, but you have to punch a skunk if you want to get the skunk out of the room, you know? And I think that revolutions are just evolution, you know? It's changing and moving and progressing. And once rulers get control and they get rich off of the masses, they stop evolution. They stop progression, because that means that they're going to have to change too. And they don't want to change. They, you know, the Rockefellers want to stay the Rockefellers. But you know what? They are so antiquated in today's modern global world that they've got to go. That they're old and they've got to go. We haven't evolved, Vinny, because we've been kept from evolving. And I think that's what's around the corner. I think it's not going to be easy. I think it's going to be painful for a lot of people, because they're going to have to face those fears. The fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the flu. Let me get the flu shot. There's not going to be a flu shot around, so you're going to get the flu. Deal with it. You know what I mean? And I think that a reality check is wrapping the globe, and the societies that are going to feel the most pain are going to be the ones that have the most today, the Western societies.
Those who have the most to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. The ones in Central America and South America, Mexico, Africa, my friend in Senegal, he's not going to have that much of a change, because he lives a very good but a very basic life. But anybody that lives in Arlington, Virginia, or Seattle, Washington, they're not going to be able to cope.
Well, we've been dependent for a long time, and the meaning of the word revolution is actually to go in a circle. You know, you're driving around in your cars, you've got MPH for miles per hour and RPM for revolutions per minute. And that's pretty much how society has been working. It's just been going round in circles while people believe that there's been a change. And this has given rise to, or at least my personal belief, that we don't need another revolution. We need evolution. We need a quantum leap in human intellect, both of the brain and of the heart. And I think what's happened now is that our brains and our hearts have been purposely disconnected, like a power cable. And in so doing, we've become disempowered. We've become disembodied. And that is why we need to evolve. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood hasn't go ahead. Make my news. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's very difficult to try not to take things seriously. I don't know, I'm maybe in this sort of balancing act between sanity and insanity. If I was fully plugged into reality all the time and I did not find some kind of escape, some kind of humor, I would surely become as insane as our political representatives. But hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to this show and you hear these very terrible jokes, it'll make you feel a little bit better and help you to retain your sanity as well. It's the very purpose of it. Because if you can't have fun by doing the right thing, then you'll lose your motivation for it, and you might do like a number of people I know have done. Give up on the truth. Give up on humanity and become selfish, self-absorbed, and care nothing for the fate of those around them. My very special guest is Dr. Janet Hull. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hope you're enjoying yourself as well.
I like what you ended the last segment with, and I like how you started this segment. I really think, Vinny, that there's an easy way out of you know, the direction that we're all going. And a lot of that is humor, and it's getting simple again and basic again. It's like, why do people drink Diet Colas? Why do they, you know, get these vaccines when they're not sick? You know, why do we get angry at somebody that cuts in line in front of us? You know, If we keep our sense of humor, if we appreciate all of the good things that we have every day, if we stay patient, you know, just be laid back and try to let things go, you would be amazed at how much more fun life could be, you know?
I agree. And this reminds me of the scene in that movie Armageddon. How, I think it was Bruce Willis was just telling them, look, you need to get the guys off the base, all right? You need to get them off for at least 24 hours. And they go, but we can't, there's secrecy and all of this other stuff. And he goes, well, what if they get up there and they forget what they're fighting for?
Yeah.
And that's what it is to me. I know what I am fighting for. I cannot forget, because I make sure to remind myself every day, so that there won't come a time where I abandon people. There won't come a time when I put my needs, my desires above humanity's needs, because I'm one of the idiots who belongs to humanity.
Well, I don't know how it is in New Zealand, but in the United States, I recommend that people leave the cities, move out of the urban areas and move into the rural areas, not the suburbs. But the United States is so huge, and Texas is actually the size of four states. There are a lot of small towns in the United States that have very laid back. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's nice. You know, in today's world, you can do so much on the internet with internet businesses, but there are always jobs that are available in your small town areas at pharmacies, or if you're a school teacher, or if you're a cop. And if you move into a slower paced environment, because we are products of our environment, you find yourself healthier. And you're supporting your local farmers, you're eating better food, the schools are better, you're not in traffic all of the time. I moved into a rural environment where there's not even a grocery store in my town. I buy from the local farmers and the local farmers market. And I drive into town once a week and get all of my staples and all of my groceries. And then I spend the rest of my week with my gates locked, working. I work online, and I'm with nature and I'm balanced. And it has made the biggest difference in my life. And I recommend people consider doing that if they're living in an urban area that's driving them crazy.
And in my case, I'm just going to sort of like throw my cards on the table here. The reason I live in Auckland in an urban area, I mean, I'm in one of the outer suburbs quite a fair away from the city. It takes about 30 minutes to get to the city via highway, but is super fast broadband. All right. So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, dude, you can get like 10 megabytes per second upload. I can upload a video faster than I can edit it.
It used
to be like back in the day, it would take overnight and I'd be uploading multiple videos. And now it takes, as long as it takes me to write out the description for the video in the box, that's about how long the video takes to upload. And I consider myself to sort of be in a position of responsibility because I have to do a radio show, because I have to get those videos up and have to do all this, as well as attend protests in a local city. It's kind of like you have to be where the work is, you have to be where the resources are. If you're not like me, however, and you have that extreme heavy internet reliance dependence, then I'd absolutely agree with you. You know, get out to those rural areas. The internet out there is not that bad. You can do a Skype call. You can browse the internet all day. You can certainly upload things. It just takes a little longer, and that's fine. I mean, think about mitigating circumstances. Try to get as many of the things that you know that are bad for you out of your life. And if you cannot get them out of your life, then you have to leave that particular area.
And do it for your children as well. I think it's real important to get children in an environment that is still natural, or as natural as it could be. And, you know, to where they're playing outside. I mean, that sounds so old school, doesn't it, Vinny? For a kid to be playing outside instead of being on his iPad or watching a video or playing a video game. And again, I'm talking about in the States, in the United States. So I don't know what it's like in New Zealand,
well,
but
let me just explain.
Children don't play outside here.
Well, let me explain something to you. You do realize we're in a new world order, that whenever you get off a plane, doesn't matter what country you're in, you see the such and such branch of the local constabulary of the new world order. Yeah. Same problems, same social site. Well, at least in the first world nations, it's more or less the same thing you'd be looking at as it is in the States, just to lesser or greater degrees with a different accent. So you've got chemtrails, fluoride, a corrupt government, brutal police, and more or less corporate scum taking over your country. Exactly identical.
I know that Australia is tightening the belt. I mean, I've been very disappointed in the government of Australia. Am I correct?
I'm not 100% sure, but I did watch a 60 Minutes piece on a woman named Pauline Hanson, who's a fish and chip shop lady in Australia, and she comes out saying all these racist things and everything, and she finds out, oh my God, there's millions of people in Australia that support me. And the interviewer asked her, are you xenophobic? And she goes, please explain. She's xenophobic and she doesn't even know what the word means. All right? And I was like, oh my God, you know how you said, I'm feeling embarrassed to be an American? Well, it's the same thing everywhere you look. You go, okay, here's a racist, ignorant person and has groundswell of support. Why? because the Australian populace, or at least a very, very large section of them, are racist and ignorant. And here in New Zealand, we have a former Federal Reserve derivatives trader direct from New York, went straight from Wall Street to Molesworth Street. Molesworth Street's the street that the New Zealand Parliament on, just for the uninitiated. And people, despite the fact that he borrowed more money in his first term than all previous prime ministers combined, despite the fact that he's passing two laws per day, despite the fact that he has never said a single thing that he can back up, and you know, seriously, you can look up how many lies this guy has told, and then people elect him with a civil majority, you know, and that's because New Zealanders, on the whole, just like Australians, are stupid, very. Very stupid, and it's not their fault, okay? It's not the Australians' fault that they're stupid, it's not the Americans' fault that they're stupid, it's not the New Zealanders' fault either. No more than you can blame a rabbit for being shot through the head with a .22 rifle. It's the one pulling the trigger that is to blame.
Right, yeah. People really are naive, but I think it's because they really are basically nice, and they are being taken advantage of by the neocons. And it is disappointing when there is a beautiful country that is infiltrated, shall we say. You know,
you can't even swim in 60% of our rivers because they're too polluted. You can't swim in 30% of our beaches because they're not safe either. You know,
and that's amazing.
Our largest our largest industry in the country, the biggest money grubber, is tourism, right? And we advertise around the world that we're clean and green and beautiful, Lord of the Rings, etc. But just like I said before, as soon as you start pulling back the advertising rhetoric and start looking at the actual facts of the matter, you see something much more macabre.
You know, there's one thing that most people don't do enough of, and that is to give the earth more credit. You know, it's amazing that these little ants, which we are like little ants on this planet, that we have been able to do so much environmental damage. But there's one thing, as an environmental engineer, I've got to say, this planet is very, very powerful, very magnificent, and it's part of a larger natural system. And I think at the end of the day, the earth is going to win out. I really think it's going to repair the damage that has been done. And it's going to pretty much wipe us out.
It reminds me of what George Carlin said. He said, the planet's not going anywhere. The planet is fine. It's been here for billions of years, and it's had tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, polar shifts, comets, asteroids, solar flares. And you think some plastic bags are just going to mess everything up? The planet isn't going anywhere, folks. We are. It's going to shake us off like a bad case of fleas.
And, you know, there's all this saber rattling about, you know, the wars that are starting up in the Middle East and in the Ukraine and yada, yada, yada. And it makes me stop and think if the 1%, the Rockefellers, you know, who's ever in their group is going to start a freaking nuclear war, then it's time, I guess, that we really all need to go.
One might argue that Fukushima was that war, and it has already been launched, and it's merely a slow, self-killing war that gets everybody.
It's insanity beyond insanity, you know, because it goes against our instincts to survive and to reproduce and to, you know, love, like you said, love isn't in this prescription anywhere, you know?
Well, you're going on off the wonderful tangent here. Sorry, I just need to cut you off, but you were talking before about the environment, getting in touch with it and that sort of thing. And I was at a meeting one time, and a Māori representative, you know, Māori's native people of New Zealand, and he said that his tribe had been given custodial title over about 1,000 lakes and rivers. and the government had been taking care of about 20,000 lakes and rivers. Now, the 20,000 that the government took care of, as I said before, about 60% of them are so polluted that you can't even swim in them because it's too dangerous. And the Māori, on the other hand, every single one of the lakes and rivers which were their charge are clean and pristine. And I think a lot of the old ways are specifically being lost. And it is a great tragedy, and that recalls the need for a rebirth, a revitalization of the way things used to be. Because sometimes people get it right before, and the only reason why we got it wrong now is because we forget the lessons of the past. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we shall be right back after the break with Dr. Janet Hull. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is now the final segment with my very special guest, Dr. Janet Hull. By the way, if you want to see, like, the best music video ever made, Muse, Knights of Sidonia. Gosh, that thing is so... It's unbelievably awesome. It's mind-blowingly good. And it's not even a new one. It's just fantastic from back in the day. Janet, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
All right, excellent, because we were having a wee bit of a problem with the static there, but again, it seems to have resolved itself, unlike the problems with our countries and scumbaggery. But the thing about relying on government to solve your problems for you is that you become dependent on them, and once you're dependent on something, you can't do anything by yourself, you know? And so many people come to me and they want to do what I do. Like they want to create a YouTube channel. They want to start doing a podcast or do blogging or something like that. And they want me to help them with it. And I'm just like, well, the help will come once you've begun, right? That's
right.
When the help will come. You have to begin something by yourself. Then when people see the value in it, that's when they will come in and start supporting you. Asking for help before you have even begun is your first big mistake. It's called do it yourself.
People are afraid of failure. They're afraid of punishment. And I think societies have created this, Vinny. Back in the day, in the States, kids used to be able to have a fist fight in school because they'd work it out. They were jealous over a girl or something in sports or whatever. Nowadays, you can't even have a fist fight in school anymore. You get arrested and you have to pay fines and do community service, and then it's on your record. So I think that back in Einstein's day and Madame Curie's day and Pasteur's, they could make mistakes and they could learn from their mistakes and then make themselves better. And probably even with the invention of Goodyear tires, I'm sure that they made mistakes and they blew initially, and that just made them better. But what we're doing right now, in order to keep the chaos down, people are being punished when they make mistakes. They're being discouraged from being different and not being like the norm. And we're teaching this to our kids at younger and younger ages. We don't test their intelligence. We test how well they do on a standardized test. You know, and so I think what's happening is people are losing their creativity, they're losing their courage, they're losing their balance, and they're confused. They don't know how to do anything anymore without somebody either doing it for them or showing them how to do it, like this person asked you. They didn't want to make a mistake. They were afraid. And so it was easier for them to ask you to show them how to do it.
Well, there's a website called Just Effing Google It. Obviously, I can't say the exact URL on there. But it's a joke site, you know, when people ask stupid questions and what you're supposed to do is just post the link, justifandgoogleit.com, and then they go to the link and then the site just makes fun of them for not Googling a simple freaking question. You know, and that's about it, man. I mean, just take personal responsibility. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? World's going to end. It's going to end anyway. You know, bugger it. What do you got to lose? I think I've been talking with a lot of people who consider themselves to be credible journalists, and I agree with them. And the thing that makes them credible, to my mind, is not only do they have good research and facts to back it up, but when they're wrong, they admit it and apologize and retract. Now, there's two things about journalism. First is credibility, getting your facts straight. And the second is integrity, being able to backtrack when you don't have them, because everybody makes mistakes. Now, what you were saying before about how people are being punished for making mistakes, well, guess what people manage to learn the best lessons from? Mistakes!
Mistakes.
So if you create a society where nobody's allowed to make a mistake, you create a society where nobody learns anything.
Exactly. And again, you know, I think probably the mantra for this show tonight is evolution. Because everything we've talked about has something to do with evolving and bettering, you know, whether it's our immune system, whether it's the environment, and I think if we can continue, what I would say to your listeners is not to get overwhelmed with the intensity of what's going on in the world these days, because, I mean, it's tense, but don't get overwhelmed with it, because the best thing that you could do is get yourself safe, strong, protected, you know, get out of this matrix, get out of the system. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And so learn how to balance it. Keep things simple. Just simplify everything to the best of your ability. Enjoy your job. Enjoy your family, enjoy your pets, enjoy your environment. Try to stay as healthy as you can. Stay away from vaccines, stay away from processed foods, and just do your best just to live a very simple life. And I think you'll stay out of the muck, and I think you'll rise above it, and I think this is where we're going to evolve into a better future. But I think this is the only way we're going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to what we were saying before about how people say, "Oh, well, something's going to kill me," for like as they're drinking and smoking and so on and so forth, which, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with. At least they're not, you know, running a giant pharmaceutical cartel that causes the biggest rate of suicides in the United States that anybody's ever seen in the history of the world. I think that the importance is about mitigating, all right? You know, one thing at a time. You can't just all of a sudden one day have no poisons, no toxins, no nothing in your life that's negative. It's not possible, okay? And anybody who tries will give up, all right? And that's the thing. One little baby step at a time. Stop having those aspartame drinks, you know, just right there. Stop buying candy bars. Stop eating ice cream, you know, one by one by one, eventually you'll have cut out about 90% of the toxins in your day, all right? And then you're going to be a lot better off. But I was just thinking about this as well. Informing people about this, they defend their habits, they make excuses for it. It's an addiction. That's actually the real problem that we're dealing with here, isn't it, Janet? We're dealing with people's addiction to toxicity, people's addiction to mind control, people's addiction to apathy.
Very well put. Very well put. And I think that that is rooted by fear. And what they're afraid of, it could be many things. Again, it could be that they're afraid of being poor, afraid of being imprisoned, afraid of death, afraid of suffering, but they're afraid of something. So they make these decisions out of fear. And that's maybe that's something the human race has never really learned yet, Vinny. Maybe what all of this is about is being courageous and loving. And maybe we're still evolving into reaching that globally anyway. You know?
Do you think we'll actually make it? Because I don't know. I'm of the very cynical opinion that we're not going to make it per se. And I feel that. Who was it? Somebody asked me this before. Vinny, do you think we're going to make it? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, why do you keep fighting it then if you don't think you're going to win? And I say, well, you don't join a fight that is noble, that is righteous, because and only because you're going to win and there's a guarantee right. of success. You do it because by not doing it, you automatically fail. And you not only fail yourself, you fail the entire human race. And that's far too selfish an endeavor for me to undertake.
I agree with you. I believe for all of us, one day or one night, we're going to close our eyes and go to sleep here, and we're going to open our eyes and wake up somewhere else. Now, whether that's death and life after death, or whether that's this dimension and a new one, but I believe that we will go on. We will go on, but I think life as we know it on the planet now, I think we're not going to make it. I think we have taken it too far. We have not acted fast enough to stop the damage that's been done. The earth will go on, and we will too. I think the key, Vinny, is that when we close our eyes tonight, if we were to open them up somewhere else tomorrow, would you open them up with more understanding, kindness, love, charity, and forgiveness, you know? So that's where I think we have to live each day with that in mind, because if you open your eyes up tomorrow somewhere else, will you be a better person for it? Or will you be the same one?
Thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime, folks.